What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. I'm Mark.
And I'm Brooke.
And this week we are talking about See No Evil from 2006.
Yeah, boy.
For our first episode of our face-off between this one and our next week's episode, which we have yet to announce.
Yeah.
But it's been a few months now since we've done a face-off.
It has. I had to go back quite a bit of my notes to find the last one we did.
I can't remember what the last one was, to be honest.
It was with Josh, I think. I know what you did last summer.
No, it was with Felicia with Audition and...
Misery.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yes. So, yeah, it's been a few months, but we're back at it. This was your suggestion for this month, this whole matchup. So I'm excited to see what happens with it.
Yeah, me too.
But before we start talking about this movie, what have you been up to this week?
This week, quite a bit. I'll try and keep it short. Let's see. So I watched a movie that is getting talked about like crazy right now. It's the highest rated movie on Letterboxd right now. And that is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
And you hated it.
Yeah, I hated it. Awful. No, it was an amazing movie. It was such a cool experience. And I don't even know like how to describe it. It's like the perfect mixture of genres.
Okay.
Like kung fu, you know, comedy, drama. It was a ride.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I still need to watch it.
Yeah. What else? we watched Con Air. Not too exciting. I got my Spider-Man No Way Home 4K in. Nice. So I popped that in, watched that, had a good time. Rewatched the Mitchells versus the Machines.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we got high one night and threw that on with my friend Casey. and I'll save this for last. I watched a movie called The Cellar on Shudder.
I heard that shit.
I liked it.
Did you? Okay.
I liked it a lot, yeah. I didn't realize it was Alicia Cuthbert until like the third act of the movie.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause she looks kind of different with like dark hair, but I looked on, put my review on Letterboxd and I saw it had like, I don't know, like a 2.3 or 2.6 or something like that. I was like, really? Like, I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it quite a bit. Okay. There was one jump scare in it that scared the fuck out of me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I've been holding off on watching it because I've seen nothing but bad things about it, but maybe I will check it out.
Yeah, I liked it. And lastly, I've been making my way through the Puppet Master movies. So in this last week, I've watched Puppet Master. I don't even know what the last was on. 3, 4, 5. I watched number 6, which is called The Retro Puppet Master, or no, Curse of the Puppet Master. And then I watched the 7th movie, which is Retro Puppet Master.
Yeah.
And I like this franchise a lot, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first 5 movies, I would say they're super consistent. Like, not bad, but like, not amazing either, but like, they weren't like any other franchise where it kind of like after the 3rd movie, it kind of drags a bit. Like,
yeah,
I do like the backstory they give on the puppets themselves. And you kind of learn like why they're that way and who they are. And I'm really enjoying it so far. Apparently it gets even worse going forward. So we shall see. But that's
it.
Pretty much it.
All right. I've had an equally as busy week. Well, it's been like almost a week and a half since we've recorded. We're a little bit later into this week.
Yeah.
But I finally finished the Hellraiser franchise.
Nice.
I finished Revelations and Judgment. Judgment was okay. Revelations was the worst one in the franchise. And then I randomly found this list on Letterboxd that is all of the Universal monster movies. There's 87 of them on this list, which surprised me because like I thought there was maybe like 10 to 15, but they've added in a whole bunch of other ones that are considered like Universal monster movies up until like the 60s, I think it is.
Okay.
So I've been working my way through that. I've watched Dracula, Frankenstein, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and I started watching accidentally one called The Old Dark House, I think it is, because these movies are really hard to find, like some of them. So I went to YouTube to watch The Mummy, actually, and it started off this movie. I'm like, this doesn't feel like a mummy movie. And then I looked it up, like judging off of the actors that are in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is a completely wrong movie. So I've been watching that.
Nice.
I watched two Keanu movies. One is called Generation and it's fucking terrible.
Oh, really?
Do not recommend.
Is it like, when did it come out?
2012.
Okay.
Yeah, I was not a fan. And then Brady put on the SpongeBob movie, Sponge on the Run, and I didn't realize that Keanu was in it. So I was pretty happy whenever he came on the screen because I was like, okay, sick. I can fucking knock one more off.
Doesn't his face show up on like a beach ball or like something weird?
It's like a tumbleweed.
Oh, the tumbleweed. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Yeah.
I watched a new edition on Shudder called Intruder.
Okay.
From 1989. Watch it.
Okay.
You should watch it.
Intruder. Okay.
Yeah. It's a super cheesy 80s slasher movie, but it takes place in a grocery store. It's super fun. Some of the kills are amazing. Oh,
I did see that. I saw that on Shudder. Yeah. Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah. I watched Choose or Die, which is a new one on Netflix. Wasn't bad. I liked it. Gave it 3 stars. Okay. Two more. I watched Metal Lords, which is another new one on Netflix from 2022. Yeah.
I did see that on there.
It's so good.
Yeah?
It's so good.
Okay.
I gave it 4 stars. I really, really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it. Read my review if you haven't already. That sums it up. And then lastly, I watched one called, it's either Knife Plus Heart or Knife End Heart, but it's like a plus sign, so I'm not sure. Right. It's considered like a new French extremity kind of, but it's like, I wouldn't consider it that necessarily. Like it's not super violent and graphic, but, it pays a lot of homage to like the old giallo movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of people give it high praise. I didn't like it necessarily. I gave it 3 stars cause it's a really well-made movie.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really my cup of tea. I wasn't a huge fan of it.
Okay. Okay.
But anyways, yeah, that's it.
Cool. I meant to ask you, have you watched any of the Cursed Films episodes yet?
No, I haven't yet, but
okay.
I'm going to be off work for a little while now, so I might as well dive into it.
Yeah. I watched the first two episodes.
Yeah.
The first one, Wizard of Oz, was really good.
Yeah.
Some crazy shit that they do in that, and because it's like the big first movie ever made, so like they're kind of testing stuff out. And then the second episode was Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah,
it more talked about Sharon Tate.
Okay.
And like a lot of the episode, probably like 25 minutes, is about all that stuff.
Okay.
The murders and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's nothing really new that you didn't know about already.
Hmm.
But there is some cool stuff in it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta watch it.
And then I started that new show on Amazon Prime called Outer Range.
Oh yeah, I saw you talking about that.
So if anyone's like into, I would say it's a cross between like Yellowstone, The Twilight Zone, and Dark.
That's such a fucking weird combination.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's Brolin, right?
Josh Brolin. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I almost said James Brolin, but that's the older one. All right, cool. Yeah, and you and Tawny were talking about Severance again today, so I think I really need to watch that.
Yeah, you really do, yeah. Yeah.
I'll get on that. Yeah, I just found out my wife has COVID, so I'll be off work for 5 days. So,
yeah.
Yay.
That sucks.
Yay. Yeah. All right, man. You ready to hop into this movie?
Yes, sir.
Let's cue the theme music and dive on in. Like we said in the intro, this week we're talking about See No Evil from 2006. Before we talk about it, what are you drinking?
So I am drinking a Highlander Scottish Ale.
Ooh, I like that can.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
It almost looked like an energy drink whenever you first grabbed it.
It is very Scottish. I could do a Scottish accent... If I could do a Scottish accent, I would have done that. But
maybe by the end of the can,
maybe. Yeah. To. What are you drinking?
I'm working my way through that box that you got me still. So I'm drinking the Dominion City Bumbleberry Ghost, whatever that is.
I think it's a fruit.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, one of our listeners, Dennis, is a bartender, so maybe he knows what a ghost is. Maybe I'm not even pronouncing it right. Who knows?
How are you tackling that? Are you like alternating between beers, or if there's a beer you don't like, you drink all those ones first, or what?
So far, I haven't had one that I don't like, but I have been like, I think there's only one type that I've drank both cans of it so far.
Okay.
And that was actually it's this one right here. I was drinking it the other night in the Key of C.
Oh, nice.
So I'm all out of these ones, but it was really good. As for this one, it's very red, so I'm guessing it's fruity.
Yeah.
Oh. Whoa. What does that taste like? It's good. It's just really sour.
I like the face you made.
I wasn't expecting it. Yeah, that's really good. But it's very sour. Holy fuck. All right.
Well, Mark will be making a face this whole podcast. So.
I'm going to be all fucking pucker-lipped for the rest of the night. All right, starting off with the synopsis. This is a very long one. A group of delinquents are sent to clean the Blackwell Hotel. Little do they know, reclusive psychopath Jacob Goodnight has holed away in the rotting hotel. When one of the teens is captured, those who remain, a group that includes the cop who put a bullet in Goodnight's head 4 years ago, band together to survive against the brutal killer. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. This movie was directed by Gregory Dark.
Definitely a made-up name.
I'm laughing because his entire resume, besides this movie, is music videos.
Mm-hmm.
Some good music, too, actually.
Yeah.
And porn movies.
Oh, I didn't notice the porn movies.
Yeah, if you go down to, like, pre-2000, it's, like, all pornos.
Hmm, interesting.
I was reading the titles and I was like, these sound weird. These are weird sounding movies. And I got to like Big Bubble Butts 5 or something like that. I was like, yep, these are all pornos. Okay.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
And I think he hasn't directed anything since like 2009, I think.
Mm, yeah. So I think I saw that too.
Not long after this movie. The cast is a lot of recognizable faces, or so I thought, until I got going through their movie lists. And I was just like, maybe I'm only recognizing them from this movie.
Yeah.
But I mean, leading off, we obviously have Glenn Jacobs, or Kane, if you watch wrestling.
Sir, it's Mayor Glenn Jacobs now.
Sorry. What's he the mayor of?
He's the mayor of some county in, I think, Knoxville, Tennessee, I think.
Okay, shit.
Yeah.
What's this, all these ex-wrestlers becoming, like, politicians and shit?
I don't know. It's working out for them.
It's like they're the best options that these places have.
Yeah.
Okay, Mayor Glenn Jacobs, a.k.a. Kane, plays Jacob Goodnight. He is known for his role as Jacob Goodnight in See No Evil 2. And he was also in MacGruber, the movie.
I love that scene with all the wrestlers in the fucking Humvee, and then they get blown up.
Yeah. I was always a big fan of Kane whenever I watched wrestling.
Me too.
You're in the same boat.
Yeah.
I was always like, it started with The Undertaker for me. He was always one of my favorites. And then whenever they brought in the whole Kane storyline, I thought that was the coolest fucking thing.
Yeah. I love that storyline too, of them being brothers, and he wears the mask because Undertaker burned him when he was a kid, and
yeah,
he's like scared of fire, and
it was really cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, next up we have Christina Vidal, who plays Christine. She was in United We Fall, the Training Day TV show, and Freaky Friday. Michael J. Pagan, who played Ty. He was in Gridiron Gang, Forever Strong, and Fallen.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, I have Samantha Noble, who played Kira. And she, I thought I've seen her in a shit ton of things, but she only had like 8 acting credits
besides, oh, really?
Including this one. So I don't know where I thought I saw her from. She might be one of the cases where it's just from this movie. Because I used to watch this often enough whenever I was younger. Like, this came out when I was 17. So this was like at the peak of my learning about horror and all the characters and like all this shit. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't have any honorable mentions. I don't know if you did.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Two people I thought looked exactly like ripoffs of other celebrities. I thought that Williams looked like Dennis Leary.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I thought that Zoe, who's played by Rachel Taylor, kind of looked like a cheap Lisa Cuthbert.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, I can
see that. So I didn't look at the IMDb after I watched the movie, and I was like, this girl like looks so familiar. I've definitely seen her somewhere. And then I looked, and she plays Jessica Jones's friend on Jessica Jones.
Oh, shit. Okay.
She's the reporter or whatever it is.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Nice. Yeah.
Actually, I do want to. I looked up, because this is a WWE film.
Yeah.
So I wanted to look up to see what other movies they've done. And like, I was kind of shocked, man, to see which films they have.
There's quite a bit.
So like the first three they did was The Scorpion King, The Rundown, and Walking Tall.
I didn't
even know that they were WWE Studios movies.
I knew Scorpion King was. I didn't know the other two, though.
Yeah. The Condemned, obviously.
Yeah.
I did not know they made a Condemned 2.
Me with either.
Randy Orton.
Oh, my God.
They made about, 16 The Marine movies. apparently, Oculus is a part of it.
Yeah, didn't we talk about that during that episode?
I think we did, maybe, yeah.
I don't know how. Like, none of the actors that are in it are
wrestlers. See No Evil 2, obviously. Jingle All the Way 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few. I do want to watch some of the Scooby-Doo and WWE movies, because they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Can
you hear that?
I think I heard a little bit of something, yeah.
It's just going to town.
Yeah, I was surprised to see how many movies they've done. So, yeah.
The only, I'm not going to give anything away with this one, but, I really like The Condemned, and I like the first Marine. I don't even know if I've seen any of the sequels of the Marine.
I don't even know if I've seen any of the Marine movies.
No? The first one was John Cena, wasn't it?
Yeah.
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 The Condemned was really good though. Stone Cold did a great
job. I loved watching that movie. Like,
yeah,
when it came out and stuff. I'm pretty sure it was around this time too, or maybe a couple years after.
Yeah. He did another movie that was really good too. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, I know what you're talking. I think, didn't we bring this up before? Or did you talk about it with Josh or something? Maybe.
Maybe. You did The Condemned, The Expendables. It's probably going to be so hard to find it because of all the WWE shit.
Damage? Maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, Hunt to Kill? I'm looking at all those movies. There's like all of them are direct to video.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it Knockout? No, it's not Knockout. He was like a fighter in it, though. It might be Damage, actually. An XCOM battles the day in the cage. Yes, it was that one. I like that one.
Yeah, yeah. He was in The Longest Yard as well.
Oh, yeah.
And Grown Ups, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was funny in Grown Ups, too.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
All right. Now that we've gushed over Stone Cold for a little bit. You ready to dive into this movie discussion?
Let's do it. Where does Jacob Goodnight's name rank for you on like horror villains? Because I kind of dig his last name. Like, I don't know, it just feels like a horror villain, you know?
I don't disagree, but I feel like it feels like a cheap horror villain name.
Like kind of cheesy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a bad name, but like, I don't know. I'm not all for it.
Okay. Okay.
It is better than some though.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the opening scene, I didn't really understand like you kind of know a bit about what is happening with the story and like his background, but it just feels like all over the place. Like, was this opening scene, was it an orphanage that he was at or like some church?
I think it was like an abandoned house.
Was it? Okay.
I don't know if it was the house that him and his mother lived in or.
Yeah.
Or what? But
yeah.
Because it had like the, like whenever you're doing renovations, you put up that plastic wrap over like different rooms and shit. Like yeah. It had that like covering doorways and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know.
Yeah. Yeah. The CGI in this movie is horrendous.
My God, man. Like after this scene, like we see the Blackwell Hotel and it's like a upshot, however the fuck you, I don't know, I'm not a cinematographer, but like you're looking up.
Yeah.
And dude, like the CGI, like scorch marks up the side of it. I was like, oh my God, this is so bad. Like,
yeah.
It literally looks like my 2-year-old took like a marker and just went all over this building.
Yeah. And yeah, this opening scene, it shows kind of his like first kill and he takes the girl's eyes and then like it does like the shot into her brain and like goes through. It's like,
I don't know, like they're trying to be edgy with it or something, but it was just like, it just looks so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to throw out a reminder here.
Okay.
That you picked this movie.
I did, but that was only based on the matchup. I thought it'd be a good matchup between these two villains.
Oh yeah.
I think, yes, it is.
It is. I just mean like, cause of the whole theme of him ripping people's eyeballs out with his fucking fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not an eyeball guy.
Yeah, but it's because the CGI was just so bad. And like, I don't know, like even the eyeballs, it didn't even like, it's like, okay, that's not gross at all. Like, you know,
there was some scenes where, what's the, like the tendons, I guess that would be like attached to the eye. Like whenever they rip the eye out, there's like the long, like tendon kind of things. Like they're just sticking straight out. It's like, I feel like they wouldn't do that.
I know. Yeah. So what is like kind of the meaning behind him taking their eyes? His mom doesn't want them to see. What's the word that they, what's the line that she says in it?
She's saying, cause the eyes are supposed to be like the gateway into the soul, right?
Right.
So like she's throughout the whole movie, we see her cleansing a child, Jacob, his eyes, cleansing his eyes. And like, you need to, I don't remember what exactly she says, but basically like dispose of the evil, because she's always catching them with like nudie pictures and shit like that.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like his whole life, she's been cleansing him of his sins by washing at his eyes.
Yeah.
So I think that's what like he's doing now is like.
But even, yeah, she did that too. Whenever she had him like in the corner, had the girl tied to the bed when he's like a teenager.
Yeah.
And she like just ripped out the girl's eye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think maybe like that was the first time that had happened, like mm-hmm. in his presence, like he hadn't been ripping eyeballs out yet.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where he got the idea to start doing it. Cause he was still pretty young whenever she did that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So during this scene, we meet Williams. He shoots Jacob in the head and he gets his arm cut off like halfway below the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts to 4 years later and he's like a prison guard, not a prison guard, but he works at like a detention center for like teens, I guess.
Yeah.
And it just like starts off right at the bat. Like they just, okay, pick up these kids and just go to this hotel.
Yeah. It's, I feel like it's one of the dumbest things ever. Like,
it is. Yeah.
It's him with one arm and his female partner. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 delinquents or inmates or whatever you want to call them. So it just, I don't know, they're outnumbered right from the get-go. They're taking them out of the prison or the halfway house or whatever it is that they're in.
Yeah.
And just putting them in this fucking hotel to clean it up in order to
reduce their sentence.
Yeah, lighten their sentence.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And like, they're so easygoing too. Like the female guard, she's mm-hmm. like dressed up nice and
yeah,
she has her purse on the bus and she's like, oh, hey, Zoe, can you pass me my bag?
Yeah.
And it's like, she doesn't even think about it. Like,
and like, there's an all out fist fight on the bus.
Yeah.
And Williams is just like, cut it out now. We're going to turn this bus around. Like,
yeah.
That's what my bus driver used to say when we'd throw like paper balls. Like, what is going on right now?
Yeah. How did you find the introduction of the characters and like the characters in general?
I hate all of the characters.
Yeah.
I didn't give a shit about any of them.
Yeah.
Me too. What's the one girl? Christine was okay. She was all right. Richie, I guess, was okay too.
Yeah, there was just way too many. It was hard to fucking like remember who was who
mm-hmm.
until you get like some people killed off. I think there's way too many characters, and I hated the way that they introduced them. Like,
yeah.
They'd be in the bus, they'd flash this like cheap thing that has like their name and like what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so fucking quick. You couldn't even see what they did and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you flash
pause
like,
it.
Super quick. Yeah.
It was almost like a tail of the tape sort of thing, but like really quick.
Yeah. That's accurate. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like the way that like they cut and edit this movie. It was just like, what in the, like the sounds they had and it's
yeah.
like, what are you doing, man?
I talk about the editing in my review a little bit. And
okay. Yeah. So do I. Yeah.
I'm fully on board with what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. So they get to this Blackwell Hotel. They're going to fix it up. And there's an old lady there who was, she apparently, this hotel was donated to them. And like, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense really. Like they're going to be there for 3 days cleaning up this hotel.
What the fuck is 3 days going to do in that hotel?
It's huge.
And it's like disgusting. Like,
yeah, it's fucking gross.
There is an insane roach problem. Yeah. There's like smoke damage all over the place because this thing like had a fire in it at one point. You know, I already talked about the fucking scorch marks on the outside of the building. And yeah, it's huge. Like this is like a Manhattan style fucking hotel. Like it's massive.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the whole thing, it didn't really feel to me like a hotel, like a real hotel. It just felt like a movie set to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
But I think it was like filmed at an actual hotel. Like obviously the top part where they had to put the fire wasn't real. But yeah. And like there's like a little bit of backstory on the characters, but not much really. Like you know that I don't even fucking know their names. The one girl who is like she rescued dogs or something from an animal shelter. So like she's kind of like this like hippie girl, and then you learn that Michael and what's her other name,
Kira,
they dated kind of, but like Michael was her pimp sort of. I don't know, it's they're trying to like give backstory to these characters, but at the end of the day you really don't give a shit about any of them.
Exactly.
And they throw in this like stupid safe storyline between I think Richie and Ty.
Yeah.
That doesn't even like what was the point of all that?
Like it's just throwing it in there just to like have some depth, I guess, to the story.
And I guess to get them exploring up at the top parts of the hotel, maybe.
Yeah, but they could have just left it as like they wanted to go and fucking smoke weed, like like half of the other ones did.
Yeah,
like, you don't need to have that whole fucking safe story. But like, and even later on, like they find the safe and there's fucking money taped and all over the walls and shit, and like they don't do anything about it. Like they have an opportunity at the end of the movie, if they really wanted to go in there and just wipe the walls clean of all this money.
Yeah.
But they don't.
No, no.
I'd be going back to the room personally.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I don't think any of the people that survived knew about it though.
Ty did.
Well, Ty dies, didn't he?
Oh, that's right. It was Michael that survived.
Yeah.
Right. That's true. My bad. Okay.
Yeah. Although I did see Ty is in the sequel. Also, it's just like a flashback.
Yeah, he's uncredited, so I'm assuming it's a flashback. I want to talk about that. No, I'll bring it up later on. I'll bring it up later on.
Okay. Okay.
Just.
You know what's funny though? Like I think I've only watched this movie like once or twice, and it was like 2006, like 2007, like that long.
Yeah.
I remember barely anything from this movie. Like I remember there's like an atrium of some kind, someone falls through. But apart, I know he had a hook. That's as much as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I like said to myself, I was like, wouldn't it be like so much better of a movie if the mom or the like caretaker lady was Jacob's mom? And then it did like the reveal that she's a mother, and I was like, holy shit.
You just spoiled the movie for yourself.
Whatever. But yeah, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be sick if like she was the mom?
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, she is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while since I watched it too. I had like a vague memory of her being the mother, but I couldn't remember how it was revealed or anything like that. And you can tell in the flashbacks, like their voice is very similar.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think they made Jacob have no dialogue for a reason?
I think it's
or just like his character.
Well, I think it's more menacing, first of all. And I think because he suffered so many years of like emotional and physical torture from his mother, he just kind of became somewhat of a mute.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe that's the route that they're going a little bit too.
What do you think of Jacob?
The
portrayal like by Kane and like everything.
I talk about that in my review too. I would love to see Kane do more horror movies.
Yeah.
I think he's really, really good. He he played like a horror character almost like in his wrestling career too. So he kind of has it down pat.
Yeah.
Plus he's like, he's huge, man. He is a monster of a man. Like, you throw a Jason Voorhees mask on him and he's probably the scariest Jason that, that they've had.
Yeah.
I think he did really well. And without being a complete fucking asshole, he has the face for horror.
Yeah.
Like, he's got like that really like protruding brow. Like, he has a very big like brow. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they could do a lot like in the makeup department with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to see more horror movies out of him, although he's probably not allowed to act anymore because he's the mayor of wherever.
Yeah. I did like how he just like manhandled people. Like, he would just pick them up and then he'd just be walking with them, like accidentally like smash their spine in half on the
floor. It was so good. Like, he would be a wicked Leatherface too.
Yeah.
Just the way he like fireman carries everybody around.
Yeah.
Oh.
I did think most of the use of his like hook was done pretty well, especially the first kill with Richie, I think, that gets it like in the leg. But then like there's one time when he captures Kira, I think, when she's in the kitchen and he's like 2 feet away from her and he like uses the hook. I was like, was that really necessary, man? Yeah.
I get if you're using it from a distance.
Yeah. And he's like obsessed with Kira because she has the cross tattoo on her back.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, has the shower scene. I don't know who would shower in this place. You're only there for 3 days. Like, why?
Like, I'm surprised that water wasn't brown, to be honest.
Legit. Like, how are you getting hot water in that place? It's abandoned.
And like, she didn't just have like the cross tattoo on her back. Like, she was covered in cross tattoos. And it was just like, it was overboard. Like, give her the one on the back. Fine. I'm good with that. But she had this big, huge one on her back, like from the nape of her neck all the way down. And then she had one on her, like on her shoulder cap. And then she had one like on her wrist. And then she had one somewhere else. I'm like, holy fuck. Like,
yeah,
it's a little bit of overkill.
A bit. Yeah.
But this is like, he didn't kill her because of all these cross tattoos. And Williams mentions that he didn't kill that girl from the beginning either, because they kind of like figured it out because she had cross tattoos. I don't know how they would have figured that out, like how they would have came to that conclusion, but but like, her eyes were pulled out, but she was dead.
No, she was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
The female guard, she gets killed like super fucking quickly. She gets like smashed on the ceiling and then I think she just gets pretty much her back broke, I think.
Yeah, he fucks her up.
And then, like, they go into the elevator and Williams and Christine, and there's, like, brain, like, falling from, like, the ceiling.
Yeah.
That was cool. Williams' kill was pretty sick, but I don't know why they killed him, like, so early, because they kind of made the whole story revolve around him.
Mm-hmm. Like, he was the one that was supposed to kill Jacob, like, at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like his turnaround story.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of his revenge, I guess.
But, like, save it for the end.
Yeah.
For the end of the movie. Like, have him be, like, Jacob's last kill or second last kill.
Yeah, exactly. Not, like, fucking...
halfway through the
movie. There's still, like, 4 or 5 people alive after this still.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was a sick. He, like, puts the hook down in, like, from the ceiling down to the hallway and just like up under his throat.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's all like CGI. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah, I thought like some of the eye pulling did look like pretty cool. Like, he has these fucking like long ass dirty fingernails that like, just like fit into her eye, just like pulls them out and like puts it in this like giant ass jar.
Yeah. Of like jelly or something to like preserve it. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
His fingernails grossed me the fuck out, man. They were like super thick and it was like they were layered with like 100 layers of like fingernail.
Yeah.
It was gross.
Yeah. The one scene kind of pissed me off whenever Kira and the other dude, I forget what his name is. They're having sex and they notice that there's a two-way mirror in the bedroom.
Oh, that was Russell and Melissa.
Melissa, that's her name. Yeah. Russell and Melissa. Actually, before we get to this, what'd you think of the whole, like, the setup that he had in the hotel, like with the bells on the bed and like the two-way mirror and have like little different like tunnels and stuff?
Yeah. I thought it was really cool. I talk about it in my, like, in my traits thing for the face off.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was really cool. It was a nice addition to the movie. Because without it, it would just leave things way too, like, up in arms. Like, there'd be too many questions. Like, how the fuck does he know where they are? Like, how does he get to where he gets to? And
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah. And I like how they do kind of answer that, like, why do they have all these beds set up? Because throughout the movie, when they're up in the top part of where the fire was, there's like dead bodies just like strewn through with the hallways and stuff. So, you know, they've been doing this for probably, you know, since he, I guess, got shot in the head. So probably 3 years or so.
4 years.
4 years they've been doing this.
Yeah. Cause, no, they weren't there whenever the cop shot him, because obviously he would realize where he was.
No.
Like, Williams would obviously know, like, oh, hey, I just shot a guy in this place.
Yeah.
But yeah, because the whole premise of the inmates going there and cleaning it up is because they're turning it into a homeless shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And what was her name? The mother, Margaret. So she tells them that the penthouse suites are off limits, and that's where they've been doing all this killing. Like, that's where all the dead bodies are and shit. So that's why she says that they're off limits.
Right. Makes sense. But yeah, the part that kind of pissed me off was Russell and Melissa. That's her name, right? Yeah. They run into like the storage closet and they close the door and lock it. And it's like, dude, like, Jacob is massive. He's literally almost coming through the ceiling when he walks.
Mm-hmm.
How can he not just bust open the door? Obviously he does, because he ends up killing Russell.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, come on, man.
There was a few times in this movie where, and it's like they were trying, the movie only ran for like an hour and 18 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like they were trying to extend it past what they already had.
Yeah.
Because like there were so many times where they could have ran to the front door, got down onto the main floor or something like that. But no, they run into a fucking room and lock the door.
Yeah.
Like, it happened like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
It's just like fucking rinse and repeat every single time. He busts through the door because he's a 500-pound man.
Yeah.
And finds them.
Yeah. I did like this scene. She has glass. Even before that, like, she's on like a fire hose and he's putting her down. And I was like, okay, what's going to happen here? Like, is he going to open up one of the windows that she's going by? But then she starts going up and she's like, oh shit, like, what the fuck, Russell? And then she goes to the top and she sees Jacob just like fucking pulling her up like nothing. And then for some reason she's like, oh, let me go, and he's just like, I like the smile on his face when he does it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the Joker from The Dark Knight.
Yeah,
during that scene.
Yeah,
he just like smiles and lets her go. And this scene was wild. I did not expect what happens when she falls through the glass and she, I guess, tries to stop her fall.
Oh man.
But only one arm breaks. I mean, it was brutal as fuck, but
yeah,
I didn't get how that,
I don't know, maybe both arms didn't hit her hands, maybe both hands didn't hit the ground, only the one did, like,
because the rope kind of catches her and she's like hanging there, but her arm still broke. I don't know, but it was sick as fuck.
Oh, because she like bungeed off the ground, like her hand smashed into the ground.
True, yeah.
So it like drove the bone up. Like it was a, what is that called? A compound fracture?
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, it was nasty. I did expect it, honestly. And then all the stray dogs come out and start like licking the blood and then start fucking eating her. I thought it was pretty cool.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah.
What I thought you were going to say was whenever they were having sex and, or they're starting to, and Russell, or is it Melissa? They look at the mirror. I think it was Russell. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, that's a two-way mirror.
Melissa notices the mirror.
She notices something's weird about it. And then Russell says it's a two-way glass.
Russell like goes up to it. Yeah. And looks at, he's like, oh shit, this is a two-way mirror.
And then somehow, I don't know, like if Jacob like had some sort of like sheet up on the other side that made it two-way or what the fuck it was. But all of a sudden you just see his figure like standing in the mirror. I was like, oh man, that is sick. That was sick.
So at this point, everyone's dead except for Ty, Michael, and
Zoe,
and Christine.
And Kira,
yeah. so there's still a lot of people alive. Still quite a few. God damn. So now Michael and Zoe were like hooking up in this bar kind of place. And I did like that scene too, whenever behind like the two-way mirror and behind the bar, you see just Jacob like just watching fucking them, staring at him.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jacob is chasing Zoe and Michael, and they run into like a room, hide. I do talk about this a little bit in my traits, but I did like how he's like walking through, checking the doors, unlocked, goes to the next one, unlocked. Goes the next one, locked. He kind of looks at it for a sec. Goes off to the next one, unlocked. And like two more, unlocked. And then he just like stops. And he just like has this look on his face. He's like,
yeah,
wait a second.
Yeah, he kind of clues in.
Yeah.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, exactly. And then busts in. And I don't know where they were hiding, but or how they got into the spots.
Yeah,
I mean, they were pretty good hiding spots. Mm-hmm. But then somehow, I don't know how she got a cell phone. Was that the one she stole from the guard?
I think so.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah. It rains and Jacob finds Zoe. And what does he what's he do to her? I forget.
Bro, he shoves the fucking phone down her throat. Yeah. Death by Nokia.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like it's ringing in his hand and he looks at it and then he like kind of looks at her and he just like puts it in her mouth and just like shoves it down. You can see it like going down her throat and like breaking all of her like trachea and stuff.
Wild. Oh. She's like fucking bleeding out. He just like drags her and she's still alive.
Yeah.
It's like, how much longer? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a rough kill.
That was.
Because it was like slow too. Like he's like pushing it down.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you learn. Well, I guess before this, so Kira's like in this kind of like fucking shopping cart, like fucking cage thing.
Yes. Yeah. With another fucking dead body beside her in there.
Yeah. So Christine and Ty are together and they decide that they have to try and distract him. So Ty smashes all of his like eyeball jars.
Yeah.
And then Christine goes in there and she's like, all right, where are the fucking keys? And then Kira's like, oh, he took them. And she's like, fuck. So she's like trying to pick the lock.
With a fucking knife.
Yeah. Ty ends up dying. He gets like crushed by, I don't know, like a box speaker thing.
What did he do to? No, it was the safe. He crushed him with the safe.
Oh, that's the safe. Okay. Oh, because he tases him.
Oh, right. He tased him in the neck.
Because Ty tried to like tase him, but like he grabbed the arm and just like, tased the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to say is Michael is one tough motherfucker.
He is. Even though I hate him, but.
Yeah, I didn't like him either, but he beat the shit out of Jacob with that metal pipe like a few times.
He did. Yeah. the one scene before this, before she gets broken out, that made me laugh so fucking hard. And it was so awkward and weird. Was whatever, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know you're talking about.
All these flashbacks are happening with Jacob.
Yeah.
And there's like one flashback. He's like in the cage outside with like nudie magazines and like he's like masturbating to it.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom comes up and he's like, I know what you're doing in there. And it's weird. And then like flashes back to Jacob present day. And he's like rubbing himself with his like forearm.
Yeah. He's it's like
very weird.
He's like almost in like a crouching like football stance. Like he's getting ready to like take on the fucking defensive line. And he's just like,
yeah, it was
so
weird.
Fucking weird.
And then he's like, you know, going at it. And then he's like, ah, he's like, they'd unlock this thing. So he's because he's like about to rape her, obviously.
Yeah.
But then all the stuff with Ty happens. And then what happens next? Do they get Kira out?
He kills Ty and then fuck Christine. She's working on the lock while he's gone. And then
the mom comes back.
The mom comes back while he's still killing Ty.
Yeah.
Because he's not in the room whenever she comes in.
And they're like, oh shit, like, you need to help us get out of here. And then this is where she reveals that she was like, it like flashes back to like her setting up the whole like thing with these kids. So I wonder like how she got the other people to come here, like the people that were already dead. Like, do you think it was like a similar plan that she had, or maybe just like vagrants that just walked into the place?
I think a lot of them were homeless, so they're probably squatters. Because a lot of them look like they were homeless.
So I don't think they get Kira out, because I'm pretty sure that Jacob pulls her out. But during this scene, Margaret is like telling Jacob, what happens to Christine? Does she get like knocked out or something like that? Because like Margaret is like yelling at Jacob to like kill Kira. And then she like keeps yelling at him. He keeps having flashbacks to whenever she was yelling at him. And then she like says like, you need to open your eyes. And then he just like grabs her and fucking chucks her onto like the, I don't even know what it was.
It was like just spikes. Like a fire
poker or something like that.
Fire poker.
And then he just, it was just like,
it was like spikes that were just like in the wall. I don't know what they were.
Oh, weird. And then he just like says like, I do see, or I see, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where Christine was during this scene. Was she just hiding?
I wonder if I have it in my,
she might've just been hiding. Notes.
Oh, so he kills the mom and then he's kind of in like this sort of like daze.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christine and Michael show up and he's in like this daze. And then I think Michael hits him a bunch with the pipe.
No.
Oh, he hits him in the back of the head with the pipe.
No. Before then, because he gets Kira out of the cage and he drags her away. And then he's doing like this whole flashback thing. And he's like in this complete daze and he's like rocking back and forth and he's just like kind of staring straight ahead. And he's got her in a headlock, like on his lap.
Yeah.
And then Christine shows up with the gun and she's like walking up to him really slowly. And Kira's like, shoot him. Like, what are you doing? Like, shoot him, shoot him. And she gets right up and like goes to fire the gun and the gun's empty.
Then
the click from the gun like snaps him out of his.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
And he starts going nuts again.
Yeah. And then Michael comes in with the fucking lead pipe
and
beats the fuck out of him. And then like he hits him in the back of the head with the pipe and all these like these maggots fall out of his head. I was like,
dumbest fucking thing ever.
Dude, he wouldn't be living if there was maggots in his brain.
Yeah. I thought,
I feel like they tried way over the top to just do like dirty and gross, like, with the bugs and like, I don't know, man.
My review is literally, it starts off, I'm jumping ahead. This movie played out like a shitty TCM ripoff. Like legit.
Yeah.
It's like they took Texas Chainsaw Massacre and we're like, okay, let's change the killer up a little bit. Instead of a chainsaw, he's going to have a hook. Yeah. He's going to be like this big badass guy. And he's going to use body parts for different things.
Right. Now, can you do that whole thing again, but in a Vince McMahon voice?
No. I need to like get all beet red and like sweaty first.
Yeah, because he was the executive producer on this movie.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
All his money went to it.
Yeah. So yeah, they end up being the fuck out of him. Michael and Christine are like kind of working together to do it. And then one of them stabs him in the eye with the metal pipe. And
that's, like, that's way at the end.
It, this is the end, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
What else did you have to talk about?
I was going to talk about how shitty that elevator was.
Elevator.
Whenever they get in the elevator and he... Oh, wait, that was like... That was way before. That was with Ty and...
Yeah, when they escape out through the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot to bring that up. Worst elevator ever. I'm going back for a minute. He's hammering this fucking elevator with an axe and it's literally like a tin sheet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, okay. Move on.
Yeah. So yeah, in this fight, they stab Jacob in the eye with a pipe. And honestly, I'd rather watch the CGI in Scorpion King than this final scene.
Yeah, I fucking loved this scene.
It was so bad.
It was so bad, but it was so fucking funny.
Especially when he's falling and it's like... The worst CGI. It didn't even look like Glenn Jacobs anymore.
No, it didn't. He got like really skinny.
Okay. But then like he...
No, go ahead. No, you go.
I was going to say he hits the atrium and he's like falling weird. He had like the pipe gets caught on like the glass or something. And he like falls back again and then just like falls down on the floor.
Man, I was laughing so hard at this scene. He's falling down the side of this building and he's got this big metal pipe sticking out of his face.
Yeah.
And he like hits, because like there's like window ledges on the way down, and he hits one of the window ledges and he's just like, ugh! And he like flips back around and he like bounces off the wall a couple more times. And like you said, there's like these metal poles obviously that are holding the glass pieces in on this atrium.
Yeah.
And the fucking thing gets hooked on it. He fucking spins up and around. Oh man. I thought it was the funniest thing ever.
I would love to see a video of someone adding in like Mario noises as he's going down. Cause he hits like a window's like ding, ding, yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Like a pinball machine.
Yeah. But yeah, he hits the ground and then like the pipe goes like further into his head.
Yeah.
And then it does this like shitty like CGI going through to see like all the stuff that's like breaking in his body. It is really bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
And then three people survive, which is like way too many.
I thought the same thing. I'm shocked.
Why have Michael survive? He's literally the worst person. I guess he's the toughest out of all of them.
I think it was like his turnaround point though. Cause Kira's like, Michael, you didn't have to come back for us. He's like, I didn't want to walk out of here by myself.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's a good guy now.
I don't know if I've seen See No Evil 2.
I have. And
do any of them come back for the second one? Like the characters, maybe not the actors, but
I don't think so. I don't remember it that well. Like, I remember, like, Danielle Harris is in it. And Kane is in it again. That's one thing that I was going to bring up. Like, how the fuck is there a sequel to this movie? Oh,
okay. Yeah.
I don't remember the characters, though.
Right.
It takes place in a morgue, though.
Oh, it does, yeah.
It's another really weird storyline.
That makes sense. I was going to say, speaking of sequels, I have a massive bone to pick with fucking movie studios. I mean, why have the fucking sequel on like four streaming platforms and don't have the OG? It's like they're always complaining about people, you know, illegally downloading or whatever. And it's like, I went to like two movie stores to try and find it, even on DVD. Like, I know not every movie gets a Blu-ray release, but it's like, couldn't find it anywhere. On Amazon, you have to pay like $95 of people reselling it.
$95?
There's like $60 to $80 people are selling this movie for on Amazon.
That's insane.
You can't rent it anywhere. It's not on YouTube to rent, on Apple TV to rent or buy. But they have the sequel. It's like, I don't know, man. It's just annoying as fuck.
And like, it's happened like with us with these franchise watches too, right? Like,
yeah.
Shudder had like the first five or six Hellraisers.
Yeah.
No, the first five or six. Then it didn't have seven, but it had eight. And then it didn't have nine or 10.
Yeah.
And you've had issues with Puppet Master.
Yeah. It's like, just, I get it's like different studios that maybe like distribute them.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, still, like, if you want people to support your movie, at least give them one access to, like,
yeah,
I don't get it, man.
Like, just put it, like, even if it's not on Shudder, just put it on a different streaming service.
Yeah.
Like, put it on Prime, put it on Netflix, put it on Crave, put it, like, even put it to fucking rent on Apple TV. Like, we couldn't even rent, like, this movie.
I would pay the $3 or $5 to rent it. Like,
we've done it before. Not,
exactly. I don't know. That's, little rant for the day.
You know what we need to do?
And we definitely didn't watch this illegally, okay? So
no, not at all.
Yeah. What are you gonna say?
We need to call Vince.
Yeah, okay.
Tell me to get his shit together.
Yeah.
Release this movie on more platforms, or on a platform at least.
Uh-huh. Agreed. All right. Well, all right. Anything else that you want to mention or talk about that we didn't?
I don't think so. I think I'm good.
All right. Well, that's the way the CGI blood splatters.
Nice. I like it. All right. Time for the reviews. What did you give it for a story rating?
So story, I gave it a 3 out of 10. Okay. I said it was a messy, confusing story filled with weak characters and many plot holes. Yep. I mean, we've went into depth a lot in this movie, so not much else to say. Quality, I gave it a 2 out of 10. I said a poorly filmed edited movie, acting is not good. I think the Blackwell Hotel looks cool. That's like the inside of it. I don't know.
I love it.
So a 3 and a 2.
All right, cool. I also gave my story a 3.
Okay.
I said, like I mentioned earlier, this movie played out like a shitty Texas Chainsaw Massacre ripoff, and it had a ton of tropes from other horror movies. The inmate storyline was boring and overplayed, but I did like Jacob's storyline with his mother using him to do God's work. I used to love this movie back whenever it first came out, and although it doesn't really hold up for me entirely, it was still a fun enough watch. Mm-hmm. The script was very meh, and the characters weren't really likable in any sense. There's actually even a few times where I was rooting for Jacob. My quality, I gave it a 4 out of 10.
Okay.
I said it's pretty bad when the best actor in the movie is the guy who literally says 4 words the whole time.
Yeah.
The kills were amazing, although they were riddled with CGI. The interior setting was very cool. I really liked the old rundown hotel, even though, again, shitty CGI ruined some of it. The score was very reminiscent of early 2000s horror movies, with nu metal blasting its way into your eardrums. And a lot of the editing in this one is very questionable, and I'm not sure where they were going with it.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the, like, his, like, head shaking, and it's all, like, fucking vibrating screen and stuff like that. It was weird.
Yeah.
This felt like, it almost felt like a Saw movie. Mm-hmm. But like a poorly done Saw movie.
Yeah. I think if you were to tell someone from the future, if they asked you, hey, what was the early 2000s like for film?
Yeah.
Like, give me a five movies to watch.
Yeah.
This is one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually a really good point. Nice. All right. You guys know our scores. Let's head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they've scored it. We can actually do this section today. Not like last week. The critics' consensus. See No Evil is packed with cliches from countless other teen slasher films, making for a predictable, scare-free waste of time.
I guess depending who you are.
Based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'm going to say a 18%.
Ooh. Slash it in half.
Wow, really?
9%. Yeah. On 57 reviews and an average score of 3.3 out of 10.
Ouch.
The audience score was a 50% on 100,000 ratings and an average score of 3.2 out of 5.
Okay.
That's a pretty high rating.
It is.
Like the 3.2 out of 5.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised to see that.
I think the Letterboxd rating is the perfect rating, I think, for this movie, which I'm sure you know already, but so Letterboxd is a 2.1 out of 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a little more sense.
Yeah. Yeah. both of us gave it a 2 out of 5, except you liked the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but it didn't deserve a heart for me, so.
Yeah.
And the only other one reviewed it worth mentioning is our boy Slashin' Captain. Give it a 3 out of 5.
Okay. I'm not surprised with that.
Yeah, me either. It's okay.
It's okay. It's a 2 out of 5.
I think this is a movie that I would like go back and watch maybe like every few years.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe.
It's a short enough movie, and like it's a good enough time.
Yeah.
All right, man, you ready for the scare section?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What did you give it for a scare rating?
I give it a 2 out of 10. I said there were some cool kills, but the CGI really takes a lot of it away. Like the arm breaking scene was shocking. I think that's, I'll get into that in my next scene, but I think the shocking part of that was more scary than the actual gore.
Okay.
I think for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then scariest scene, I said that arm break. I just did not expect that to happen.
Yeah.
It was gnarly. It looked bad, brutal. And then just add on top of it, the dog coming and like licking up the blood and then eating her, I thought was fucking sick.
Yeah.
And what I survive, I said, no, I've committed many sins. I'm a goner.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You naughty, naughty boy. My scare rating, I gave it a 4 out of 10. I said the setting was really well done and disgusting. Jacob is an absolute monster of a man and plays a great horror villain. I wish we got to see more of him in horror. I've already said that. Some of the kills were really cool and the gore was through the roof, even though a lot of it was CGI. So it looked shitty, but like it was still cool. Like if it was done practical, it would be so much like some of the kills would be so fucking sick if they're done with practical effects.
Yeah.
My scary scene, I said the same thing as you. I tailored it more towards the dogs.
Okay.
I said, I'm not sure why it affected me so much. Maybe because she was the one feeding the white dog earlier and the bastard turned heel on her.
that's a wrestling joke. If anyone who doesn't know.
I'm not a big wrestling guy, but I know enough about it. would you survive? Fuck no. My eyes would be in a jar full of jelly.
Nice.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face and the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up, because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
Okay, it is time for Loomis's villain evaluation, where we are going to go through a series of character traits on Jacob Goodnight.
Yep.
And give him a rating out of 30 in each one. And once we get our scores all together, we average them out, and then they will go up against our villain for next week.
I think we should say who the villain is for next week.
Okay.
I do gotta say, we told our good friend Josh, who is going up against him, and he adamantly, with all of his bias, thinks that Jacob Goodnight is no match. But I did say, I think it'll be a closer fight than you think.
Yeah.
And I still think that.
I do too.
Yeah. Yeah. So go ahead, Merc.
All right. Next week, we're going to be putting Jacob Goodnight in the ring with the one and only Victor Crowley.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. It's the battle of the big uglies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who wants to go first?
I guess I can go first.
If you want. Sure.
Sure. Whatever's easier for you. You're the one doing the math.
Cool.
All right. So for my strength, I gave him a 25 out of 30.
Okay.
I said he's played by former world heavyweight champion who swings people around with ease. My dexterity, I gave him an 18 out of 30. I said he can move around the hotel with ease, can hook people no problem, and has a steady hands to pull eyeballs out.
Nice.
Constitution, I gave a 15 out of 30.
Okay.
I said he's an athletic freak who never slows down.
Nice.
Intelligence, I gave a 20 out of 30.
Okay.
I said he's smart enough to know when and where to attack people. He uses the hotel to his advantage. Wisdom, I gave a 22 out of 30. I said he used the advantage of knowing the layout of the hotel and setting up traps like bells and two-way mirrors.
Okay.
Now, I meant to bring this up in our discussion. Do you think that it was him that set these up, or his mother?
That's a very good question.
I'm just going to play that he did it, but there is a possibility that his mother was the brains behind all this.
I never even thought of that. Like she's the brains and he's the brawn.
Yeah.
Wow. That went over my head.
I'm going to keep mine like this, but I think there's a good chance that she did all that.
Yeah.
Because like the bells, they go to like, I guess this like main room, and they have like sketched on like what room it is in, which is, I thought was awesome. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
And then charisma, I gave a 2 out of 30.
Okay.
He doesn't speak at all during the movie. Unless this face off was involving his mom, then we'd have a different story, because she's really charismatic.
Yes, she is. Very true. Okay. My strength, I gave him a 22.
Okay.
I said I was originally going to go a lot higher, but the higher we get in this category, the more the strength becomes supernatural.
Yeah.
And although Jacob somehow survives a gunshot to the back of his head, his feats of strength aren't much more than what we've seen Kane do in the ring.
Okay.
His dexterity, I gave him an 18, just like you did.
Nice.
I said, for a big man, this fucker can move. He's running running all over the halls, jumping into dumb waiters, climbing walls. Plus, we know Glenn Jacobs is a wrestler in real life, so that just adds to it even more.
That must be a fucking big dumb waiter.
Right? I was thinking that too. They can hold him. Yeah. Like, that thing's huge. Constitution, I gave him an 18 as well. I said this trait is going hand in hand with my previous comments. During the whole movie, he doesn't slow down. We do see him get out of breath at times, but he just keeps on trucking.
Did I say 18 for my constitution? Because I thought I put 15.
You did. I said like two, like because my dexterity was 18.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay.
Intelligence, I gave him a 6.
Okay. All right.
I said homeboy is dumb. Maybe the years of mental and physical abuse from his mother have done it to him, but it doesn't give him a free pass in this category. It's taken him this long to finally go against his mother and her work of God.
I do gotta say, I meant put in intelligence. We mentioned it before, but when he realizes that the one door is locked,
that's true.
The other ones are unlocked. I put his up for that as well. I don't want to change your score.
No, but you make it a good point. I'm not going to go as high as you, but I'll give him like a 9. Okay. So it goes up a little bit. I think he's still dumb as fuck. I just got to change these scores. Okay. And his wisdom, I gave him a 14.
Okay.
I said I'm putting this a bit higher because although he isn't the sharpest tool in the shed, he's still in touch enough with the hotel and his surroundings. He set up the whole bell system that allows him to know where people are in this massive building. Plus, like you mentioned as well, like all the tunnels and the two-way mirrors and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Charisma, I gave him a 1 and I just said LOL.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Just give me one sec. Okay, so for the strength, it's an average score of 23.5. Dexterity is an average score of 18. Constitution is an average score of 16.5. Intelligence is an average score of 14.5. Wisdom is an average score of 18. And Charisma is an average score of 1.5.
Very nice.
So it'll be interesting to see how Victor Crowley kind of matches up with them.
Yeah.
In some of these.
I'm excited.
Yeah. All right, man. Guess that's the end of it.
That wraps it up.
Yes, sir. All right. If you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at A Podcast on Elm Street. We are also on YouTube, where we've been putting all of these video episodes up, and we've also been doing our game streaming.
Yeah.
So please go check those out. Hit the bell, hit the subscribe button, give us all the support. But yeah, if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch. There's also a link to our Patreon if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's links to both of our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us, as well as the YouTube link.
As always, you did a fantastic job.
Thank you. I think I need to just like pre-record that and just like put it in.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Brooke's like, yeah, I'm fucking sick and tired of hearing it.
But looking forward to next week, and we'll talk to you guys later.
See you later.